Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the original one, 10 years old, and ready to rock for you, all the things that you need, many of the things, maybe not everything, but pretty darn much everything that you need to be successful as a small business owner. You can go there and find out a lot of stuff with the articles, the archives. Don't forget the archives you can listen to in lots of different ways. You can now podcast them. You can download them. Take them with you if you want to. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. My gift to you. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out our blog as well. And don't forget our new website, AskJim.biz, the knowledge base for small business. It's where you get small business answers now. Beverly Williams is our guest. She's all over both of our websites. And our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the co-author of The 30-Second Commute, and our good friend, by the way, the 2002 Small Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year, as chosen by the SBA. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's always my pleasure to be here with you.
It's good to have you back. Is the snow melted in western Maryland?
Well, it has. I think there's a couple of patches still over on the ski slopes where it was pretty deep, but we actually have the birds are back and the trees are popping on, or the leaves are popping on the trees, so
right.
I think it finally has arrived.
There you go. And the bears have come out of hibernation, I guess.
Bears are coming out of hibernation, yes, yes, that too. That's always the fun sort of positive and negative about
them. Yeah. They're fun to look at, but not when you step out your door and they're looking at you like, what's for breakfast, huh?
That's right, or that you forgot to bring your bird feeders in at night, and they are no more.
Right, right.
You know.
Beverly, do you think some people who want to start a small business with no particular interest in home-based
mm-hmm.
might not do it as quickly as they would have because they think that there's something... If they have to do it from home, there's something wrong with them. You think there's still a stigma in folks who if they don't have the capital, they don't have the financial ability to move, you know, to rent a space, that they might not start a business because they don't want to do it from home?
I think there are still some people like that. I think it's far fewer than we've ever seen before. However, there are still people that have tunnel vision that think the only way they can do a business is in commercial space. And it's interesting. I taught our guest lectured at a college class on entrepreneurship a few weeks ago. All of them were under 25. And when I asked how many were thinking about a home-based business, only one young lady raised her hand. And that was because she wanted to get married and have a baby.
Uh-huh.
And that that really, it surprised me a little bit insofar as I really thought more of the younger generation had changed their minds about being home-based. But there is still very much a traditional attitude there.
Well, the thing that's, I was talking earlier before you got here in the opener, about the interesting dynamic of home-based, being home-based, and how people feel about it, and how they come to be home-based.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, clearly, there is no longer a stigma. There's very little stigma attached to being home-based. Most people accept that and understand it. In fact, many people think it's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
But I just wonder if some people, you know, we all have our paradigms, don't we?
Yes.
We all have the, you know, I have a certain image of what a really sexy car should look like, or and you know exactly what you want a certain, you know, a clothes if a certain color that you like, or
uh-huh.
and somebody else would, you know, prefers a certain kind of food, whatever it might be. We all have our paradigms of what uh-huh. certain things, certain parts of our lives should look like, what they should be like.
Uh-huh.
And so I just wonder if there are people out there who are who in their mind, if I have a business, it must be, you know, along the on the out on the strip with a sign hanging out or whatever, whether it's my law practice or my insurance agency or I'm selling a product or whatever it might be.
I think that's true. I think probably as I think about it, the trend may be more people who have started their business or been operating their businesses in commercial space are now moving back home because the stigma has been taken away from being home-based, and they see the advantages mm-hmm. of being able to be working from home rather than renting commercial space. If they don't need the visibility, if it hasn't done for them what they thought it was going to do, if they find they really don't need the space and they've looked at their financial picture and said, boy, we're spending a lot of money on having this space when I've got space at home that wouldn't cost me anything or very little to move my business back there. So I think perhaps you're right that there has been a change in that paradigm that it doesn't have to be this way, but not until they've experienced it, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Of course, as baby boomers retire, I think it's pretty much generally accepted. Baby boomers are not going to just take their watch and go and ride off into the sunset. They're going to continue to be productive and do things. They're going to want to stay active and vital. And I mean, that's the way I feel, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of other people that way. And so, a lot of those people are going to leave their firms, the ones they own or the ones that they've been working at. And they're going to find something to do, and they're going to do it from home because they can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They can blend part-time professional work with part-time retirement.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something we're encouraging here in this area. Being a resort area, we have a lot of people who have second homes here that are now beginning to retire from their full-time jobs and moving here on a permanent basis. And yet, here is a lot of intellectual property that could be shared with entrepreneurs here. They could be mentors. There's so many things that they could do. They could do a business part-time if they wanted to continue doing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are consulting in those areas.
Absolutely.
And they're operating out of their house, and it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And it keeps them active, and it's a good thing. Stand by, mm-hmm. Beverly. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Beverly Williams. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I am the one.
Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Beverly Williams, the author, along with Don Cooper, the co-authors of The 30-Second Commute. If you're home-based or want to be, you got to have this book. Beverly, give us your website, too, please.
That's www.beverlywilliams.com.
And check that out when you get a chance if you want to find out more about what Beverly does to help people get established and be successful in their home-based businesses. Beverly, now that we've got folks thinking a little bit about going home and being home, and you know, I've got an office downtown. I've been in this office for 15 years, and I like it here. I want to be here. It's effective. It's efficient. It's good for us. We have employees, and we all need a place to work and to be kind of in the same place, working on different things that we do. But I look down the road for me, and I see myself being home based again.
Ah.
I see the day when, and I don't know when that is. Maybe 20 years from now, maybe 30 years from now. I don't know. Well, I don't know what the future will hold. I know that I hope the day I die, I went to work that day.
Yes.
You know, okay. I mean, I like working. I want to be vital. I want to contribute. I don't think we're placed on this earth to be a barnacle on the keel of humanity. I think we should all be productive in some way until, you know, as long as we physically can.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan on doing that. I want to be able to do that. And so I see the day when, you know, down the road, I don't know, 20, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, that I would, you know, we'd kind of back things off a little bit, and I'd move home and do some of my work from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if in order to do that, there are certain things that I need to check on, don't I?
Yes, there are. The first thing is whether or not your zoning ordinance allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may be an unobtrusive or what we call a quiet business, there may be laws still that say you can't do that. Secondly, you need to look, and if you have an older home, and I know yours isn't brand new, but it's not that old, the telephone system, the wiring system, can you do at your home what you do at your
mm-hmm.
office now
mm-hmm.
with the electronics, with all the
telecommunications,
high-speed internet and so forth,
mm-hmm.
yes. Can you get a cell phone signal there if you're one of those home-based business people or non-home-based who use their cell phone for their business so that they can be more mobile, you know, can you receive a signal there? That's something that is difficult in our county, particularly here in the mountains. That's not always something that you can do. That has stopped many a person here from moving their business home is because they couldn't get the telecommunications.
And in your case, you've only recently been able to get high-speed internet.
That's correct. It's only been the last few months, and that was a real problem for us before. Having the slow dial-up created lots and lots of problems. But there are some other things as well, and that is, what is your house set up to house an office? As you know, my husband and I have a beautiful loft, and it works out beautifully to have a separate area for me to do my work.
Thought that was your loft.
Well, most of it is.
I don't remember seeing anything John-like up in that loft.
Oh, yes. He has his own side.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah. Right. I have the middle and one end.
Okay. You have most of it, and he has a little piece of it then.
That's correct.
But
that's
he has the basement, though. He has a basement.
He has a basement, which we've finally finished off, and that's very nice. And he has the garage for all his tools.
Hmm.
But it does work for us. There are some things that make it a little more difficult. I don't have clients coming to this house because in the wintertime you can't get up our road. So I usually meet my clients elsewhere.
That's one way to keep them out of there. Don't fix the road.
Well, it's not the fixing, it's the plowing.
Yeah.
And we get so much snow that sometimes it's difficult. We have a private road to come up.
But you have
to think about those kind of things.
These are things to think about. You know, a lot of people, when you say you got to check to make sure it's legal to do the business, to have your business in your home, a lot of people are scratching their heads. And, for example, if I moved home, nobody would know.
Yeah.
No one would know because I would be in the office in the basement. And nobody would know anything about it. They wouldn't know that I hadn't left that morning, you know, or whatever. And so I would say, well, you know, why would anybody care? But there are people who care, aren't there?
There are. Unfortunately, when you want appropriate home-based businesses, and the type of business that you do and I do are fine to work from home, but there are some that would be obtrusive, they would be noisy, they would be dangerous to other neighbors, other people in the area, and so we have to have appropriate zoning ordinances. In the case of a quiet business, even then, if your ordinances say that you cannot operate a business from a residential area and you do it anyway, even though nobody should know, somebody finds out, decides to turn you in, you could be in big trouble.
There's always a busybody out there, isn't there, Beverly?
Absolutely.
Causing
trouble.
So check that out, folks. Just make sure you know what the requirements are, what the restrictions are, and then find out what they are. Maybe you want to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it'd be a good time to change those restrictions. I know that's something Beverly has worked on a lot over the years. Beverly, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, put a .com on the end of that. You've got our website. The book is called The 30-Second Commute. Quick break. Right back with Stephen Gaffney, and we're going to get honest right after these messages. Stay with us.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.